Sisters and brothers, will you rise and help me tell the story of this great day of Pentecost? We will call ourselves into worship using the words printed in your bulletin. Your part starts on page 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each.
Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we, people from far-flung lands, hear them speaking in our own native language? In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine."
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning."
No, this is what was spoken to the prophet Joel. "In the last days it will be," God declared, "that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day, I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
"Come, Holy Spirit, come. Instruct, inspire, unite, and help us see your light. Come, Holy Spirit, come."
and also with you.
Now reach out to one another.
Short visit.
Short visit.
Brothers and sisters, on this glorious Pentecost morning, I say to you, good morning.
Morning.
Blessings and peace to you on this Memorial Day weekend. When our wilderness roads here in Berkshire County start to fill back up again. When old friends and new friends we have yet to meet start coming back to this place in search of meaning, beauty, and retreat. We are called as people of faith to be many things, but foremost among them is to be truth tellers. And so since there are some guests here who might not know all about us, since there are visitors who are just waiting to get to know us, it is only fair that we should be clear about who we are here at the First Congregational Church. So in full disclosure, we are an open and affirming, little child squirming, Holy Spirit moving, justice movement grooving, piano restoring, God's love imploring, alleluia ribbon waving, equality movement paving, green team forming, God's will norming, small group hosting, God's grace boasting, peace of Christ sharing, red attire wearing, never yet done, always on the run, Sunday school going, beauty of life knowing, spirit infused, gospel enthused, vision discerning, ever yearning, heart churning, faith learning, congregation of the United Church of Christ. And so for both old friends and new ones yet to be made, know this, you are welcome here, whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey. Speaking of life's journey, I would invite anyone who has an announcement to make about the life of this place to come forward to that microphone and do it. As they come forward, I would let all of our visitors know and invite you to please fill out one of the pew cards located in the pews. Give us information and a way to get a hold of you, and I promise you, we will. Ted.
And I think the one thing we haven't said is happy birthday. More on that later. But I have the super duper official announcement as a clerk of the church, and here it goes. To all members of the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, in accordance with the bylaws of the church, I hereby call the annual meeting of the church for Sunday, May 31st, 2015. Immediately following worship. The business to be transacted is as follows. 1, call to order. 2, quorum check. 3, opening prayer. 4, time of remembrance. I'm going to skip the numbers. Approval of annual meeting minutes, 2014. Meeting agenda review and announcements. A hymn. Reports, including moderator's report, pastor's report, people's report. Another hymn. New business, recognition of board and committee members completing their terms. Election of officers and boards of the church. All boards meeting date. Sending blessing. Ted Randolph, clerk. And I have an addendum to this, to my announcement, which is, if you've had a chance to peruse the annual report and you happen to look at my report, it has a glaring omission. I said nobody died in this past year, and in fact, should have recognized Jane Huggins and Pat Martin as members who died in the past year. So I'm sorry for that omission.
Hello, my name is Nellie Rustic. I am a member of the choir. And I just wanted to let you know that Catherine Shane Leiden and I are doing, a mini recital tour in June and July, but the two in June are in the area. June 6th at 3 p.m. at Camp Hill Ghent in Chatham, New York, and June 13th at 7 p.m. at the Spencertown Academy. And it's going to be a great program of English and Italian art song. So we'd love to see you there.
I don't speak in tongues or in rhymes, but I wanted to remind you that after coffee hour today at 11:30, anyone who is interested in discussing the Israeli-Palestinian resolution, we will meet in the classroom. Thanks.
I'll be brief. You may have noticed that the piano that's being restored is no longer on horses, is now on its fabulous new wheels. And just to remind everyone that our celebration concert is Sunday, June 28th. Mark it on your calendars and be there.
I want to announce a concert. Jack Brown's Berkshire Lyric Chorus is doing a program called Grand Opera, and our Marjorie Dix is going to be one of the soloists, and it should be very exciting. Next Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Colonial Theater. Thank you.
For those of you on committees and boards, there will be a new meeting on June 1st of all new committee members and the existing committee members. Child care will be provided. That will be at 7 o'clock in the evening. Thank you.
I'm Doug Schmalzi, violinist Eric Martin, and I will present our program, Boom and Bust. Once again, it's vintage songs of the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Lots of fun, lots of opportunities to sing along. Could use singers. It'll be Saturday, May 30th, 7 p.m. at the Dewey Hall Historic Place in Sheffield.
There are so many opportunities of ways to engage this church. I hope that you will take advantage of them. Now before us is the opportunity to worship God with all of our hearts and all of our minds. So let's get to it.
Our first reading this morning contains the words of God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. These words are offered to the people of Israel who languish in exile in Babylon. The name Ezekiel means God strengthens. This passage, like many in that great book, includes themes of renewed hope, regeneration, and blessing. Hear these words about the new life God offered them then and now. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were all very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God of these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinew on you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from the graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord.
Let me invite all the children who are in the room to come on up and join me up here. Come on up, have a seat. All right, there's plenty of room. Plenty of room for everybody. Come on up. Come on up with squeaky shoes and everything. Where do I get myself some squeaky shoes? I like those. Come on up. So hello, everybody. How are you today? All right. So I have something under here that some of you will recognize because you helped make it. And some of you won't know about it, so we'll have to tell them all about it. Do you remember this? You did make this. So what is this? What does it look like? It's the world. And what's all around the world? People. How many of you here remember making this? Can you tell me how you made it?
We molded the clay into the shape that we wanted it to be, and then we painted them when they were dry.
Okay. So you molded it, and then shaped it, and painted it. And this is a depiction of what story in the Bible? Do you remember? Very good. This was the story of the creation of the world. Now, the Bible tells us in one of the creation stories that God took dust, right? And formed the dust into people. And then do you remember what God did to make the people come alive? Do you remember? Who here can read? Okay, Willa, I saw your hand first. I'm going to have you read what this says right here into this microphone so everyone can hear it.
Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being.
Well done. Well done. So what it says is that we all came alive when God breathed the breath of life into us. In the story that Josh just read for us, he read a story about breath. In fact, breath showed up in his story 8 times. That word breath is the same word that showed up when God created the world. It is the exact same word that we use for the Holy Spirit, the thing we are celebrating today. In Josh's story, can you listen to the story? Thank you. In Josh's story, what he talked about was that God was even able to make old dry bones, an old skeleton, come to life with God's breath. Do you think God stopped breathing? What do you think? Do you think God stopped breathing? If God stopped breathing, what would happen? There you go. And we believe in this church that God is still speaking, so God still has to be breathing. What this story is meant to tell all of us is that no matter how hard things are, no matter how bad life is going, no matter how many troubles you face, God is always breathing the Spirit. God is always breathing new life, just like God breathed life into creation at the beginning of all time. And so that, as you go about your day and as you finish up your school year, that's what I hope you remember, okay? Can we all join hands and say a prayer before we send you off to Sunday school? So everybody grab a hold of the hand next to you, whether you know the person or not. So we're going to say a prayer that's known. Can you let, there you go. Can you hold my hand, Willie? Oh, let the people behind you in, Irving and Sam, can you? Thank you. There's more behind you yet, Sam. Keep going.
Two ladies there.
There you go. All right, we're going to say a prayer called the Lord's Prayer. If you know it, you could say it with us. If not, listen, and we'll teach it to you. Let us all pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Okay, you all can either go off to Sunday school, or you can go back and sit with your families, whatever you choose.
Our second reading for this day of Pentecost comes from Paul's letter to the Romans as recorded in the 8th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. We know that the whole of creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sights too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the midst of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
Friends, will you pray with me? Loving God, breath of life, oil the hinges of our heart's doors, that they might swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. If you have ever witnessed the advance of a desert, if you ever have seen how a desert encroaches onto fertile land, you would know that it is slow. You would know that it is painful. And you would know that it seems unstoppable. Tender blades of grass first give way to the onslaught of blowing dirt and sand. Next, the trees that hold the soil together, the trees that extend the canopy of shade over that grass, the trees that offer protection to you and I, they falter and they die. They remain standing a while as a sentinel, as a witness to what was before those trees too come crashing down to the ground, life giving way, hope fading. Death encroaching. In the Sahel, a landlocked area of Africa in Burkina Faso, a strip of land that stands defiantly between the Sahara to the north and the fertile farmlands to the south. The desert has been on the move for more than 3 decades. Overpowering between 5 and 10 kilometers of land each and every year. Although the West has responded with great resources, vim and vigor, equipment and money, little has been able to slow the onslaught of the coming desert. The wet season in that part of Africa has shortened. Farmers now desperately plant at the very first signs of rain, but more and more the harvest has not come to fruition by the time the dry season returns. And so life gives way to the coming of the desert. Many, many, many of the farmers have given up and fled, hope giving way to fear, visible signs of life becoming invisible amidst the swirling dust and sand of drought. And then, standing before that desert came Yakuba Sawadoba. And people, they laughed. And the science community, it scoffed. And this tiny, frail-looking man, he went out in the midst of the driest of the dry season, and that man planted seeds. And the laughter got louder, and the scoffing more derisive. He went out in the worst of the heat and drought, and he planted life through an ancient practice called Zai. With his axe over his shoulder, Yakuba began over and over again pounding the barren earth, while Yakuba groaned under the weight of the pounding sun. He dug small little pits all in rows. And then into those holes, he squished compost, kneading it with his fingers until it was loose and fine. And then before covering it up, he sprinkled seeds, some of them millet seeds, some of them tree seeds, and then squished more of the compost onto the top, before spreading what looked like lifeless dust all over it. Tooga Naabo Korgi is the prime minister of that region. And he recalls how when this all started, the people of the region, they labeled Yakuba a madman. They mocked and said that he is full of madness, and yet Yakuba, he persevered. But here's the thing. His efforts worked not against the impending desert, but instead worked with nature. The compost there in those pits, as it continued to degrade and continued to change, provided moisture for those seeds. The pits, they captured the scarce trickle of water that fell in the dry season. And like Yacuba, the seeds, they too persevered. Those seeds, they happened to pop out right as the rainy season came upon, and they grew strong and healthy and fast. And that compost, it attracted all sorts of things. It attracted termites. It attracted other insects who burrowed through that dead, lifeless ground and broke it up and made it life-giving, so that when those tree seeds got big enough, the soil was loose enough that the roots could push out far enough, that the trees could grow high enough. In 20 years, Yacuba worked and worked and worked, digging those holes, groaning under the weight of the sun, and squishing that compost in between his fingers, and suddenly, new life had emerged. Forest and farmland had firmly emerged in this place that had been desert. The labor pains of creation bringing life. 30 whole acres of highly fertile land, where 60 different species of trees reasserted themselves over desert and pushed back. And the people who had mocked and scorned him, slowly, like the trickle of water in the dry season, started to come back. The prime minister said that if Yacuba indeed had a madness, it was a madness that suited the people well. Yacuba invited the farmers who trickled back to join him by his side. And so side by side, they all pounded the earth with axes, groaning under the weight of the sun, planting seed and discovering hope, life becoming visible again. And farmers who had mined and planted this land their entire lives were astonished. Their yields, first they doubled, and then they tripled, and then they were blessed with abundance, enough to share. And the trickle of people returning became like the rains in the wet season, steady and prolonged, and life returned. The madman became hero, the impossible possible, and the invisible visible. A scientist from the Netherlands, whose name I could not dream of pronouncing, observed that that madman, groaning under the weight of the sun and persevering in the face of the desert's onslaught, had more impact on Burkina Faso than all the national and international researchers combined. The desert is moving again in that part of the world, but this time it is retreating. Death is falling back in the face of life. The spirit is alive. That is exactly, exactly what Paul is writing about to the Romans who faced their own onslaughts in their own time. That we are groaning inwardly while we wait for adoption, waiting for hope in patience, waiting for the hope of the kingdom to come, waiting for that day where justice does indeed flow down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Waiting for God's will to finally be done, for life to push back death. I don't know about you, but standing in our time, waiting amidst all the visible signs of war and famine and disease and injustice in this world, and all of the struggles we face in our life, can feel like one man standing against an encroaching desert. It can feel like utter madness. And yet, on a day like this, where the spirit swirls in this room, it might just be the kind of madness that suits us too. Robert Jewett spent nearly as long studying the book of Romans as Yacuba has spent tilling the ground. He immersed himself in researching and reflecting upon this masterpiece of Paul's. He dug at it, he squished it around in his fingers, and he planted seeds within the text for new life. And there are a couple things about this passage in particular that he has become convinced about. First is that you and I are part of these labor pains of creation, not merely bystanders. Like Yekuba, you and I are called to be out there groaning under the weight of the sun, groaning for redemption. For you see, the whole creation that Paul writes about here, the whole creation includes everything, blades of grass and sentinel trees, and you and me. And it is the Spirit that allows us to be part of this process, to be included in the labor pains. We are included in the birthing of a new creation, affected by God's grace and called to be a partner in effecting its spreading. And Paul writes in Romans that we do it by waiting. Waiting, our Bible says, in patience. And that's where Jewett gets a little cranky. He says that this translation of waiting in patience does not go nearly far enough. The Greek word hupomeno sends an additional message. Jewett claims that once you fully grasp the sweep of what the entire letter is trying to say, when you see that word that shows up in other places, he argues that hupomeno conveys much more than the attitudinal notion of patience. You see, when we hear that word in our mind, we should see Yekuba in our eyes. Patient in attitude, but active in response. We should see a hopeful perseverance, the kind that dares to be crazy enough to dig holes and plant seeds in the dry season. We should see inspiration flowing from ancient truths that are not destroyed by current conditions. We should see a kind of endurance that is willing to withstand the ridicule of neighbor and that weathers the hot sun. This idea of perseverance is the exact same word that shows up in Hebrews chapter 12 in this amazing passage. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with hupomeno, with perseverance, the race that has been set before us. Friends, we do all of this today. We dress up in red. We process with swirling flames. We sing of the Spirit to remember that we never persevere alone. We recall the ancient truth that the Spirit is always by our side, helping us in our weakness, interceding with sighs that are too deep for words. So wherever the desert is encroaching in your life, wherever this world is being threatened by death, wherever hope is fading, remember Yekuba. Remember how in the face of the power of something that seemed unstoppable and the ridicule of the people, he did something as simple as digging holes in the soil. Remember how in the driest, hottest times, he took compost and squished it into his fingers and planted seeds. Remember how in Burkina Faso, when people were fleeing, he stood fast, bringing new life through old truth and welcoming communities to come back home. Whenever you feel like giving up, whenever you feel like running away or simply laying down, remember this day. Remember Pentecost and the gift of the Spirit. Remember Paul's words to wait upon God in patience, wait upon God in perseverance, wait cradled in the hands of the Spirit, soothed by sighs that are too deep for words. And may you, in the process of doing so, become like Yekuba, standing in the face of anything that opposes you, grounded in the truth of the unshakable, unstoppable, unassailable power of the love of God. It is good news worth getting all dressed up for. Amen.
Thank you.
for your success in the Special Olympics. Well done. We lift up prayers for all of your teammates. We lift up prayers for Max. And we lift up prayers for your mom. Other joys and concerns? Yes?
Joy for the marriage
of the heart. Joy, and not for the news. We were trying to find it yesterday. Of course, we're not in self-service, so we got to find out. So joy for the news of marriage equality that is spread across the pond in Ireland.
Yes.
Other joys and concerns? Yes, Ronnie?
I'd like to express gratitude for all our service, Mom. My son served for 23 years, and I know many people have done the same, and this weekend I think we should bear them all in mind.
We lift up all who have served our nation and many nations in service, and keep that on our minds. Yes, Mary?
Joy of having my son Lloyd, daughter-in-law Angela, granddaughter Sylvie with me this weekend.
We give thanks for the joy of family by our sides. Listen.
I want to say, I don't need people, my two uncles, that do give you money to know them. I want to pray for them.
We pray for your two uncles who died in World War II. Yes.
I've been part of the mentoring project for 2 years, and the young man that I mentored from Crown Heights, I think he was the first person in his family to graduate with a associate's degree this week.
We give thanks for that mentoring program and for that particular young man who is the first in his family to graduate from college.
Prayers for St. Charles and her husband Bruce, who left this behind 2 months ago.
Prayers for St. Charles for Bruce and for you in the absence of your beloved. We also lift up prayers this morning for Jeff Harris, whose father passed away this past week suddenly, and we wish best wishes upon you, Jeff, and you, Michael, and all who mourn his life. Also, I want to share with you that Mary Jane Dunlop underwent surgery yesterday. Apparently, she is recovering well, and we look forward to her being back with us sometime soon. Yes.
I'd like to ask for continued prayers for baby Cecilia and parents Sarah and Mary. She's doing well.
We have asked Sarah, my sister, at home from the hospital, and that her little baby, Cecilia, all babies lose weight when they're first born. Near 2 pounds, 6 ounces losing weight is a dangerous thing. She is back to her birth weight and growing, and they are becoming more confident each day. Thank you all for all of your prayers that you've expressed our way. Mother and mother are doing better. Other joys and concerns. Then I invite you into a time of silence to let all of them settle on your hearts. Thank you.
Here's the truth. When you bring hundreds and thousands of these candles together, they shine as bright as the sun and force out shadow in the darkest and deepest corners. So on this day, when you present your offering, as small or flickering or great or glorious as it might be, know that together our offering creates ministries of grace and peace and hope and love. Please ambassador today's offering will be given.